Okay, well, let us get going. During today's session, my plan is really to lay the foundation of what being organized means and really to teach you the first steps of how to get organized. We're going to be talking about where to begin and where, you know, what do you start with, and how to go through your things and really to make some very tough decisions. Over the course of this coming week, I'm hoping that you're going to be able to put some of these new skills into action and really practice what you're going to be learning. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to create the systems that are going to support you so that you could actually put away your things and find them again. And finally, during the third session, we're going to be talking about how to maintain the systems that you've spent the previous 2 weeks creating. And as I go through the materials again, I invite you to ask questions so you can clarify what you need. And just that number 6 key will mute and unmute you back and forth. Are there any questions right now? Are we all in the right place?
I think so. This is Judy. I do have a question. I keep hearing a loud beeping every once in a while. Is that because it's being recorded?
No, the beeping is probably people muting and unmuting themselves right now. But I think you probably will hear less of that as we go on.
Okay.
Okay? So, let's see, where are we? Just one or two people. When I say, okay, we're going to get organized, what do you think of? Anyone out there want to just tell me what you think of when you hear the words, let's get organized?
I break out in hives.
Hives, okay. Who was that?
Overwhelming.
All right. Anyone else?
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. So we've got hives and overwhelming. Wow. Kind of scary, huh? This getting organized thing. But what does it mean? Really, when we talk about being organized, it really has to do with our things, our time, and our tasks. And really what we're going to be focusing on for the next 3 weeks is our things, but a lot of what we're talking about can be applied to your time and your tasks also. So, you know, just might want to just keep that somewhere way back in your mind. Being organized really doesn't mean that it's neat and clean. Even if you're organized, you still have to clean up before friends and relatives come over. It's not about being neat and clean. Being organized means that you have systems that support you so that you can find things and that so you can put these things away. It means that these systems support you so you could accomplish what you want to do and accomplish it when you want to with the supplies that you need in a way that is comfortable for you. Getting organized is real personal. What works for one person may or may not work for someone else. We're all so different, so unique. We have really different needs. I have set up with my clients more organizing systems that I could never use than you could imagine. They just wouldn't work for me, but you know what? They work for my clients. There's no right or wrong when it comes to getting organized. And I'm also telling you, there is no perfect system. Because the day you have a perfect system is the day someone comes home and hands you a whole new thing that needs to get into the system. You know, it's the day that your kid comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I'm dropping out of soccer. I want to take basketball instead. And now what do you do with all the new forms? Or it's the day that your boss comes over to you and says, wow, you've done so great on all these projects. I have another thing I'm throwing in front of you. So whatever you do, it's not something that's going to be perfect, and it's never done. It's really a process, and it's not a destination. So, you know, again, what works for me is not going to work for you. Let me give you an example. I was working with a client by the name of Alan. Alan has ADD. About 4 or 5 years ago, he decided that he was not the one in the household to handle filing the bills, to handle the bills in general or anything to do with the paperwork. And he gave that job or decided to take that job over.
Rosalind Clifton.
Oh, Rosalind, welcome. We're just getting started, and if you have the notes there, you'll pretty much be able to catch up as to where we are.
Okay.
We're just talking about organizing being a very personal thing, and I was talking about a client of mine. So Alan had given up doing the paperwork. His wife took this job over, and his wife was maintaining the filing system and doing everything that needed to get done. Then Alan said, you know what? I'm ready to take this job over again. I need to do this. It's important that I do this job. And he said to me, his wife's system is all wrong. Nothing is in the right place. It is terrible. He can't find a thing. So I said, you're right. You can't find anything. But if I went to your wife and I said to her, Do you know where the most recent PSE&G bill is, which is our electric company here in New Jersey? He said, well, yes, you could find it. I said, if I went to your wife and said, do you know where your kids' most recent report cards are? Can she find it? Yes, she can find it. Does his wife know where the medical bills are? Does his wife know where all that stuff is in this filing system? And the answer was yes. So I pointed out to him that while the system may not work for Alan, and it didn't work for Alan at all, the system was ideal for his wife. So it's really very important to understand what works for you may or may not work for somebody else. So why is it so important to get organized? Anyone want to throw out a couple of ideas?
So you don't feel overwhelmed.
Why else? Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Brian. Saving time, saving money.
Yeah, those are real key. One more?
Improve your health.
Improve your health. Tell me what you mean by that.
Just to avoid all the stress from not finding things or being late or whatever.
Yeah, who was that who just said that?
Melanie.
Melanie, yeah, that's a huge, huge piece of it. When I work with clients, the main things I hear, save money. I've got one client who saved $500 in 1 week when she got organized. Between not having to pay late fees, not having to buy things that she already had, between deciding because she was able to look through her bills, so she knew she had already paid things, so not paying a bill twice. She saved over $500 in a week. I was with a client this week. We opened up his drawer, found five little dispensers, I guess, of Visine. It's not that he has real dry eyes. He never remembered that he had it, so he always bought more. Now, how much money can you save not having to buy those five things of Visine? So a lot of money. A lot of time also, absolutely. There's a lot of time you could save not having to search for things. Also, I hear that people will have more confidence in you because you can find things and because you can show up on time. You'll have more confidence in yourself. You'll be able to control your things and your tasks, and they're not going to be in control of you. Also, I hear very much that, you know, that whole overwhelmed feeling, that the physical clutter just so overwhelms you, it stifles you. You can't move forward. What's interesting is often the reverse of that works also, that in your life, clutter is really serving a purpose of some sort. And it may be that the clutter in your life allows you to stop yourself from moving forward. And you may be using that clutter to say, you know what, I can't get to these things. I have to declutter today. So it's something you may want to think about. How is that clutter serving you also?
This is Judy. Can you say that again?
Some people will use clutter as a defense. I can't have people into my home because my home is too disorganized. I can't get to this really big project that I keep really wanting to do because first I have to clear my desk. So it's a way that it stops you and it allows yourself to stop yourself. So that is, you know, in addition to not being able to get to things because you're cluttered, it may be the reverse as well. So are there any questions up to this point? Does everyone kind of know where we're headed?
Yes, I think so. This is Judy.
Okay, great. Anybody else? I'm going to take silence as an okay, keep going.
We're doing great.
All right, well, I will keep going then. And one of the questions I often have, and some of you may have heard the teleclass I did about, I have ADD, why do I have to be disorganized too? But one of the questions I get very often is, you know, what is this ADD doing to me that I can't get myself organized? So very, very briefly, and we're not going to spend much time on this, there's people with ADD have so much trouble getting organized because getting organized involves the specific things that people with ADD find the most difficult. You are trying to use the exact things that are really not your skill set, but yet you kind of have to do it. Things like regulating your attention span. When boring things like filing and organizing, it's not the most exciting, thrilling thing in your life. But boring things like that are so difficult to pay attention to. And you have to pay attention to it on a regular basis. You have to do it consistently. Things like prioritizing, scheduling, categorizing, assigning something to someone else, delegating these responsibilities, all these things are areas that people with ADD tend to have difficulty. And these are the kinds of things that you have to do when you're getting organized. Now, I'm not a real good artist, and I'm never going to be a really good artist. But you know what? I could learn to make a better face. Will it ever be a good face? No, but I could learn it. Getting organized is very similar. Some of us are not born organized people. There's no magic organizing gene in us. So you might not be born an organized person, but you can learn to be better organized. You may not ever be the most organized person in the world, but just like I could become a better drawer, not much better, but I can make it probably so I can make a passable face other than just a silly little smiley face, you could learn to become a more organized person. Questions?
This is Judy. That sounds discouraging.
In what way?
I liken it to being an artist and drawing a better face. I think that if I worked a really long time, I could possibly draw a passable face, but it wouldn't be something I'd feel good about. So if we do this, are we going to feel good about it?
You'll feel more comfortable with it.
Okay.
You will feel to a stage, are you ever going to be perfectly organized? I doubt it. Nobody is.
No.
Nobody is. But, you know, if you look at it in a way that will you be good enough?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Will you have a system that supports you? Yes.
Okay.
Will it support every single aspect of your life? Boy, that'd be boring.
Mm-hmm.
But will it support you enough so that you can do the exciting things? Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you for saying that, Judy. I don't want to discourage people. We are on the path to getting better. That is absolutely what we want to be doing here.
Brian, with a question on that, what do you think is considered a success example of you're not going to be perfect, but here's what you can expect to improve. Here's the degree that you can expect to improve.
You know something, let me give you a client that I have who's had huge issues with time management. And while time management is not physical things, but you know, let's take physical things. It's much better. I have clients that I've worked with. We've worked on a lot of things around offices. We've cleared desks. We've created filing systems. We've made it so that is every single piece of paper always off the desk? No. But at the end of the day, when it's time to put things away, there's a place for them to go. So that when someone says to them, can you give me the notes from the meeting on the 15th, they have a pretty good idea where to look. Is it always the first paper they touch? Not necessarily, but it's usually within the first two or three. So you'll have systems there. And then when someone comes to you and says, I need this kind of thing filed out too, you'll be able to figure out, how do I file this so that I have a really good shot of finding it again? Does that make sense, Brian?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Well, then, where do you start?
Hmm.
You know, I've been in houses where, I don't know what your house is looking like, but I've been in homes that I haven't been able to walk through. That I've walked into a garage, a two-car garage, I'm 5'1", and couldn't see over the boxes and couldn't walk around the garage space. So where do you start? That home, not only, if you could imagine the garage looked like that, the basement wasn't much better, neither were any other parts of that house. So where do you begin? There are so many different areas. How do you start?
So you were at my house, Carrie?
I've been at a lot of houses. Who just said that? I'm curious.
Tony.
Tony, do you have cats?
I have a cat and a dog.
You know, we'll have to do an informal poll here because I have found that, about 85 to 90% of my clients have cats. I don't know why. And I know that because I'm allergic to them. So I've just seen a huge correlation between clutter, ADD, and cats. I don't know why, but just something to mull in the head there at some point. I don't know what you lose, the cat or the clutter. Maybe you keep them both. Or maybe you lose one and not the other.
This is Rosalind, and I found your question rather amusing because one of my cats had just walked across the desk and was purring, and I thought maybe you heard him.
No, I did not. In fact, I have a client down in Florida, and I had no idea as to whether or not she had cats because I didn't need to ask her if, you know, I wasn't going to her home. And one day she said, you know, if I do that, I'm going to have to move the litter box. And I thought, yep, another cat, always. So when we're trying to decide where do you begin, you know, my clients will say to me, where do I start? You know, I don't know. It's for you to answer. And what I'll ask often is the question, what's going to have the biggest effect on you? If you could only change one thing, what would it be? Now, when I say that, you might want to remember that whatever you change, it's going to affect other things. Let me give you the example with one client I work with. We had had this conversation, what's the one thing that's going to have the biggest effect on you? Now, she had just moved into a new home. She had a bigger home, but with fewer built-ins, so a lot less storage space. She had two young children who didn't have a playroom. She did not have a home office set up, yet she intended on running her home from an office in her home. And when I walked into this home with boxes all over and everything else, my thought went, boy, this is either a playroom or an office. That's where we're beginning in this house. And I said to her, where do we begin? And she said to me, when I asked her, what would have the biggest effect on you? She told me her dining room. Now, she has an eat-in kitchen, so I'm thinking, my God, this lady's off her rocker. Fortunately, I didn't say that. And I said, why? And she said to me, well, if I clean up my dining room, I'll be able to invite people into my home, and this will become a home. And I realized at that point that my client was 100% correct. Now, as I said, when you touch one thing, it touches other things, right? So we're going through things in the dining room. As we're going through things, guess what? We're finding her kids' markers, and we're deciding where in the home the playroom's going to live and starting to put things in there. Shockingly, we found unopened mail. So we had to say, where is mail going to go? What kind of system are you going to create so that, not so we can handle the mail, but so that the mail ends up in one place? So we started to create a system for her that at least the mail went into the place that she decided would be designated her office. So things start moving along. Another example. Let's say you decide to clear your dining room table because there's so much stuff all over it and you want to just be able to have a family dinner there. Now that's really important. But what does that family dinner give you? All of a sudden, you're able to connect with your partner and you're able to have discussions with your partner about how was your day, what was important to you. Maybe you have children joining you at the table, and now all of a sudden you can find out how your kids' day was and how they're doing in school and how you can support them. So just by clearing your dining room table because it's this mess, how much more depth are you getting from it? So as you're trying to decide, where do you begin? You ask, if you could only change one thing, what's going to have that huge effect on you? What's going to be the most important place for you to start? As I said, it's not always obvious. And what might be the most important thing for you may not be the most important thing for somebody else. But what's the most important place for you? If you're still having trouble kind of coming up to what you would do, try to imagine what you would tell somebody else to do. Because you're usually right. What would you tell somebody else to do? Excuse me?
This is Judy. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What did you do with the client and her dining room? It feels to me like you began to clear out the dining room, but it sounds like almost ADD hell. You picked up something that went somewhere else, and then you had to create a system for that. And therefore, you know, it sounds very difficult. How did you handle that?
What we did is very much what we're doing here, and that's focusing our attention on one thing.
Okay.
And we decided that we were starting in the dining room.
Right.
No matter what, the dining room was our focus. And when we came across the markers, I was able to ask the question, where are the markers, what part of the house are the markers going to live in? What are they associated with? Well, they're associated with the kids' stuff. And the kids' stuff is going to live in the room off the living room. Fine. Mm-hmm. So we put it there. Look, here's all this unopened mail. Where do you want unopened mail to go when it comes into the house? You know, I really need it to go in one place, and we're just going to put a little basket by the front door. Fine, we've got a basket by the front door. But we've kept our focus. All right, that's out of the way. Back to the dining room. And we're moving things out into the general area that it belonged to.
So what you're saying is it's a general area. You're not creating a whole system at that time. That
helps
a lot.
Absolutely not. You're really focusing on one piece at a time.
Thank you. That helps a lot.
Anyone else have a question?
I totally relate to what Judy's saying. That's what gets me hung up when I try to organize one place. I find 50 things that go 50 places, and I try to set them up at that time, and I never get the original job done.
You know, we're going to get more into this, but depending on as things, you know, I just want to say this now because I don't want it to leave my mind. One thing you can do as you're going through things is just, you know, pick a box, you know, or several boxes. Let's say you're working in your dining room, and you have things from all over the house in your dining room. As you're going through things, you could have a box that says living room, playroom, office, kitchen, or whatever. So that they just end up in this box. Alternatively, you could just put them all together, depending on how much you want to do. But at least that way, you're staying grounded where you need to be, and you're getting things flowing in the right direction. I know a lot of people, myself included, will put things on the staircase to take as you're going up or on the staircase to take as you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting things moving to where they need to be, but it helps keep you focused as to where you are. All right, just a couple of other things to help you to decide where to start. I really prefer to start on something visible. I don't like to open a drawer and start there. What I like to do is start on some sort of surface, because that way when you're done, you'll see it. You'll see what you have accomplished. The other thing you might want to try, you know, for that person who has that, and I'm not assuming anyone in this call has the garage that I've seen, even though I've heard people have now. One thing you can do, take a really expensive piece of paper. Now, we're not talking expensive tools here, just any old piece of paper. You could take a tube from a paper towel or something like that. Look through it. Look at one place.
Wow.
Where can you start? Really hone in what's one place you can start that's going to affect you. That would have a big effect on you. So anyone want to just chime in with where they think they're going to be starting?
This is Judy, my computer room.
Judy, anywhere specific in your computer room?
Oh, good grief. I thought I was doing well.
You're doing really well, and I'm going to get you even better. So any one spot in that computer room, Judy?
Computer desk.
Okay, there you go.
Is that
desk in there?
You? Judy, is that where you'd want to start in that room? If you could only fix one thing, or I'm sorry, I don't even want to use the word fix. If you could only organize one place in that room, where would it be?
It's a toss-up between the floor and a side table that I have.
Okay, well, I'll let you mull over that one.
Okay.
But keep it narrow, because when these projects get too big, get lost in them. So as narrow as we can with these projects is the way to go.
But somebody else sounded like they were saying their computer desk.
Hey, so we've narrowed you down. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's me, Brian. And computer desk is that one very, very good area because of papers that are important. Oh, look at this paper that I've been looking for 2 weeks.
Okay, so you've got a computer desk that sounds like you want to help it a bit, huh? Okay, anybody else have an idea of where they want to begin?
This is Rosalyn, and I'll start with my dining table.
Okay, Rosalyn, what kind of things do you have on that dining room table?
CDs, floppies, tapes, an old beat-up laptop, lots of paper stuff for a variety of different things.
Okay. Hearing a lot of paper so far. Everyone's got paper. What else? One more person want to tell us what you want to be focusing on?
Clothes.
Clothing. Oh, I love it. Clothing in which room?
Are you kidding?
I'm saying let's start with one thing. Which room?
But it's in every room.
Okay, so you need to gather it in order to be doing it? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. Okay. I throw it wherever I am at the time.
Okay. All right, so you're going to be working on clothing. Okay. And they're all your clothing?
Yes.
All right. One more person.
I am tending to be a paper person as well. And when I get too many piles, I just throw them all in one bucket.
Okay. When was the last time you went through some of these buckets?
How many? I go through them every day trying to find something.
Okay. Who's speaking?
No, I'm sorry, Melanie.
That's okay, Melanie. All right, so paper. So all these buckets in one room of your home?
No.
Okay. How many buckets do you want to start with?
Just two.
Okay.
Start.
Two of the more recent ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're starting to focus in on some of the ideas of where we want to begin. And hopefully hearing some of the questions I'm asking people will help you to hone in and ask yourself some of the same questions. So I don't hear things again like what Judy said, the computer room.
Right.
Because the computer room, boy, that sounded scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a couple of other people out there are going, whoa, that's biggie, huh? So how do you start? We've now said, okay, we know what organizing is. Organizing is about having systems that support us. Yeah, great. Thanks, Carrie. We kind of knew that. We also now know why people with ADD have trouble getting organized. Well, you know what? We're not the most focused and able to prioritize and categorize kind of person. Well, yeah, we kind of knew that also, right, Carrie? But now we've got a place where we're going to start. And you're focusing in on what's really important to you and why and how to begin. We've also learned a little bit about why getting organized is going to be helpful to us also and how that feeling of overwhelm kind of lessens. The stress goes down. We save time. We save money. So, you know, as we're talking and as you're focusing more and more on the place that you're going to be organized, start thinking about what benefit are you going to get when this is organized. It may not be money, it may not be time, it may not be overwhelm, but what's in it for you, and really for you? And let me just give you one quick example. I've been working with one woman. We meet by phone once a month. And for the past 2 months, she's been telling me I want to organize upstairs. Downstairs is neat as a pin, and she's very, very comfortable with it, but the upstairs is just terrible, and it's wall-to-wall boxes and books and stuff. And I asked her, you know, why? And she told me because if someone ever came up there, she'd just be mortified. Could mm-hmm. never have anybody go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, that's a good reason. Is it a reason she's comfortable with? Yes, she feels very, very strongly. And of course she understands that, yes, she'll save time, she'll save money. She understands all this and she knows it. But she wanted to get organized because if somebody stepped upstairs, it'd be terrible. And in fact, her son, an adult son, went upstairs recently, and she was horrified.
Hmm.
Well, 2 months passed, and we only meet once a month, and nothing's changed. Hasn't done a thing. And I said to her, why are you getting organized? And she said, again, because, you know, if my kids go upstairs, or this goes upstairs, or anyone goes upstairs, it'd be terrible. I said, you know, are you organizing for yourself, or are you organizing for other people? And as we talked, she realized that for her, she wants it organized for her because she, and this is a word she does not like, she hates the way it looks. She really hates it. It's uncomfortable for her. She dresses very monochromatically, and she wanted her home, her whole home where she lives, to have an even tempo to it, which meant for her, there was a real reason for her personally to get organized. So as you're focusing in on this one area, it's going to make such a difference for you. Really focus in on why. What's in it for you? Really specifically for you. Okay. So now, you know, I've heard a bunch of people talk about papers. We did hear a little bit about clothing, and I'm sure there's some other things that are going to come our way as we start to get organized. But how do you do it? You know, now that we've laid all this groundwork, what do you do? First, a little bit of a word of warning. It's probably going to look worse before it looks better, but you're moving forward. All right? So just a little bit of a warning here. So I don't want to hear people coming to me, Carrie, this is worse than ever.
Carrie, we already know that.
Okay, good. I'm glad. But it's still like the little Surgeon General's warning. We all know smoking's bad for us also, right?
Ask anybody who lives with us. They'll tell you.
So this is
going to be unfinished.
Well, this is probably going to look a little bit in the process for a while, but here's how you go about it. First thing you need is a place to work. And what that might mean is that you might gather all the pieces of paper and put them in one pile so you have the rest of the desk surface to work on or the table to work on. It might mean that you might want to gather the things that you're trying to organize and move it to a place in your home or in your office, wherever you are, that you have space to work, that you're not going to have to move it out of the way every day. So you probably don't want to be sitting in the main walkway of your home, because that will get in the way. You pretty much want to create a little haven for yourself to work in. And this is really a workspace. And ideally, like I said, one that you're not going to have to disrupt every single time you do it. So you don't have to lose your place and just kind of repile everything in the middle. So you need a place to work. You're probably going to need, I'm going to use the word, a garbage can. Because what you're doing, you'll probably find some empty envelopes or something that you really don't need. And we'll get into how to decide what other things besides empty envelopes you can get rid of. You may need a recycle bin. You may need an area to put things that go in other areas of your home, like we discussed before, having a couple of boxes that say, you know, office or TV room or dining room or whatever. You may need something like that, or it could just be one catch-all also. You may need an area or a box or a bag that you could put things that you want to give away. So as you're going through those clothing, if you find things that, you know what, this dress is never going to fit anymore because it's two sizes too big, so maybe I want to give it away to somebody. So have an area where you can put it. These are things to give away. It may even mean, so we need the supplies. You need an area to work, and you need the supplies that you're going to be using. I do not recommend that you go out and buy tons and tons of equipment. You don't know what you need yet.
No.
Everyone's already bought the tons of equipment. I go to houses, and there are 10 to 12 boxes of file folders never used.
You got it.
So don't buy equipment at this point, please. I hate spending people's money like that. You know, don't do it. I love Staples. I'm a Staples addict, but don't do it. So you need a place to work. Now, as I mentioned, I'm going to talk about this garbage can kind of thing and this shredder and stuff like that. How do you decide what goes in it? This is really tough, and I really do not belittle these questions. You'll find a bunch of these questions also. I'm hoping most of you are using the notes that I sent ahead, but a lot of these questions are on there. So as you're going through your things, when have I used it? What have I used it for? Maybe when would I ever in a million years use it again? Why am I keeping this? And really ask the question, why am I keeping it? Now, one that I really have been using a lot lately, I think it's probably among the most powerful questions there are, what value is it bringing to me? And is the value of whatever it's bringing to me worth the time, effort, and space that I'm affording to it? That question makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're keeping, oh, let's take something that, you know, everyone has tons of. If you're keeping old books, lots and lots of old books, what value are those old books giving to you? Are they worth the time, space, and effort that you're giving them to keep them? Who owns who here? Do the books own you? Do you own the books?
My question is the time, space, and energy that it takes to get rid of them.
Who's speaking?
This is Judy. I'm sorry.
Judy, that's okay. Yes, it's going to take time, space, and energy to get rid of them. But what do you get in return? Is it more expensive for you, and we could put it in terms of money like this, is it more expensive for you in terms of time, space, and energy to get rid of them, or is it more expensive for you to keep them? What is it costing you to keep them? Is it costing you a bookshelf that other things can go? Is it costing you stress of always seeing it and saying, boy, what am I ever going to do with that? Where's the balance there? So what value is it giving you? And is it giving you enough value that it deserves the space, the time, and the effort that you're giving back to it? So play with that question as you're going through things and see how it lands for you. It lands differently for different people. Other questions you could ask. What would happen if you lost it? For people here who may find pieces of paper that they haven't seen in a long time, have I missed it? Would I miss it if I never saw it again? I'd be going through things with clients and find something they haven't seen in 20 years, and they'll say, wow, I haven't seen this in 20 years. And before they fall in love with it, I try to ask the question, have you missed it? Did you know it was missing? Would you miss it if you never saw it again? How would your life change if you never saw it again? So questions like these, and these are really hard questions. Please understand that, you know, well, it's just, well, when would you use it again? Sounds like a simple question, but they're not.
No.
They involve a lot of soul searching, and you get a lot better at it once you get started. You may want to post these questions somewhere to ask yourself as you're going through it. Could you recreate it if you lost it, especially these days with so much stuff on the Internet? Could you recreate it? I love rules. I set rules as often as I can because rules give us something to follow. So a rule that you could set around some of these things so that some of these decisions are made for you. If it's a magazine and over a year old, I'm throwing it out. Now, I'm not saying that's the right rule for you or the wrong rule for you, but it's a rule. So now, as I'm going through magazines and I say, oh, this one's November, or, you know, November 05, I'm allowed to keep it. This one's October 05. This one's out. I don't even have to go further.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to go through things and say, if I find people ask, you know, credit card applications, which I know I get tons of, and I try to cancel as many as I can, and I'm still getting lots, if I get a credit card application, I'm throwing it away. Or if I have credit card applications on my desk and I've got 8 of them, I'm throwing away the 7 oldest ones and only keeping the most recent. Set a rule. I was working with one client who had years and years worth of magazines, probably about 15 different subscriptions to different magazines. Many of these magazines were still in their plastic wrapping.
Wow.
And I said to him, Marv, what rules can we create here? Really important. We need some rules. I'm not touching a magazine until we have a rule here. And the rules we created were that 3 different subscriptions that he had, we kept, regardless of whether it was old, new, it didn't matter, we kept it. Everything else, old, new, yesterday's subscription, yesterday's issue or whatever, we tossed. But we set a rule so that as we were going through things, you didn't have to ask yourself a question every single time. You didn't have to decide the value. You had the value decided. That makes sense to everyone. Do we have any questions about this?
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
I do. This is Brian. And, yes, I took what you said there, Carrie, and I put an exclamation around it, and it was excellent. And I can, this is helping me see what is creating part of the challenge, and that is, one is mementos, and the second thing is fear. It is easy to have a fear of, well, I need to keep this in case this, or what if this, or I might this. That fear is one reason why it is sometimes difficult to throw things away. And then the other thing is a memento, an ADD is more likely to have a emotional memento reason why they want to keep something that someone else would say, are you kidding? That's junk. Pitch that thing.
You know, it's funny. I'm a very organized person. It's just the way I am, and I understand that about me. And I consider myself fortunate, but then again, I really cannot draw a face at all. No way, no how. But I went into my mother's apartment, about 6 to 8 months ago, something like that. And I went in there, and I saw on her end table this little Sweet 16 thing that someone had given her. It was a hunk of junk. It really was. She barely knows the kid. Her neighbor who said, oh, you can't make it to the party. Here, take one of these things. And it's sitting on her end table. And I said to her, I was like, Mom, what are you doing with this? Knowing full well that in hopefully a lot of years, I'm going to end up going through all the stuff she has. I said, Mom, what are you doing with this? And she said, well, you know, the kid down the hall gave it to me, and if she ever came in here and she saw it, I said, Mom, if she walked into your living room, would she be looking for that? And she said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let's say she is looking for it, and she doesn't see it in your living room. What assumptions can she make? And she said, well, I guess you could assume it's in the bedroom or in the other room. I was like, yep. So who are you keeping it for? Are you keeping it for you, or are you keeping it for somebody else? Again, what value does it give you? If you're keeping a memento from an adventure act, is that memento giving you value? Or is it really costing you more than it's giving you? Can you take a picture of it and keep a picture of it digitally on your computer? You might be able to do that. People do that a lot with kids' artwork. You know, you have all these, you know, hundreds of things from like year one to year eight. The kids just make so much of this stuff. Take a digital picture of it, have it all on your computer, and you'll never look at it again, and that's fine. But what value is it giving to you? So let me just, I want to get through the rest of this really quickly because we're actually running out of time. This hour goes so, so quickly. As you're going through things, and we've touched on this a lot of times, start to create some rough categories as you see things. Now, rough categories, let's not micromanage this. I don't need you to say, this is insurance for my life, this is insurance for my car, this is insurance for my home, this is insurance is more than enough. Or frankly, this has to do with money. That works also. So create some broad categories. I'm not sure who said they had lots of stuff on their dining room table. I don't remember who that was.
That was me.
What was
Roslyn?
Roslyn, I can't see your face. It's a little bit of a disadvantage here. But as you're going through the things, maybe you want to say, this is a DVD pile. This is the computer stuff pile. The person going through clothing. These are work clothes. These are play clothes. These are nighttime clothes. These are special going out clothes. That's enough. Don't micromanage it. You want to get some broad categories. So your job this week really is to go through the things, end up with what's left to organize, and have a general idea of what have you got in this stuff that you want to get organized in the area that you're trying to organize it in. Boy, that was a very long, convoluted sentence. Did that make any sense?
Could you say it again?
Thank you. As I'm saying, like, my God, where am I going? Your job this week really is to sort through the stuff in the one area you've picked. Get rid of the things that don't need to be organized within the area you're picking. So if that means throw things out, recycle them, move them to other parts of the house and forget about them, get it down so that what you're left with is the stuff you want to organize for the area you're organizing. And within those things, get an idea of what have I got there? Some general categories. What have you got left that you want to organize in this area? Now, how do you get yourself to do this? It's not going to take very much time and effort. I'm not asking for much from you. I don't want you to say to me, I'm going to do this all day tomorrow, because that probably won't happen. I'm looking for a small time commitment, 15 minutes, maybe 30 on the outside, on a regular basis, ideally every day, that you could commit to moving forward on this. As you're thinking about this, you know, and some people, if you don't like time, commit to one CD's worth of music, or 10 songs, or 5 songs, something like that. Commit to listening to one chapter of a book that you may have on an audiobook. So it doesn't have to be on a clock, how much time do you want to give. Another way to look through it is, somebody's going to boxes of paper. I'm going to commit to working with 30 pieces of paper a day. That's fine also. But commit to some sort of regular amount of time or stuff that you're going to be going through. But when do you go through it? Think about you. When do you function well? Are you a morning person? Do you function well at night? 2 o'clock in the morning? Are you an afternoon person? When do you function well? And that is a time of day that you're going to be wanting to ask yourself these hard questions. If you're a night person, please don't try to do this first thing in the morning. It's not going to work. Conversely, if you're a morning person, doing it at 9, 10 o'clock at night, that's not going to work either. So when's your strong time of the day? Depending on you, I work with Starbucks people and library people. Those are the people that either work really well in a silent room or work well with a lot of stuff going on around them. So what are you? Do you like having music on? Do you want to have the TV going in the background? Some people get completely distracted by the TV. Other people, it keeps them company and it'll keep you on task. Some people may need it silent. What kind of person are you? What's often very, very helpful is to have what we call a body double with you. Have someone just sit and visit with you for 15 minutes while you go through it. Just to keep you in one place. Have someone do that. Maybe they could help you do a little bit of a reality check, Brian, so that someone could say to you, it's a hunk of junk, throw it out. Might help. Something also that you might want to try is to, if you have somebody that you feel comfortable doing this with, have them hold up the stuff for you. Because it's an amazing thing. When you're holding it, the stuff owns you. Until you've touched it, you're still in control. So the more distance you could keep, the better. So if someone could physically hold it for you, it may help you. All right. We are up to 5 o'clock, almost exactly. I am going to send out a worksheet. And I'm going to send it out the same way I did with the notes on the forum. And this worksheet will help guide you through this week, help you really focus on where you want to focus for this week. Let me just look at it so I make sure I cover everything. Help you focus on where you want to start and help you understand why you want to start there. It'll help give you some strategies, help you think of what strategies you're going to be using. And also, to think of any obstacles that may come in your way so that you might want to rethink some of your plans. You know, if you said, I want to do this at 10 o'clock every morning, but you know what? An obstacle that comes in the way every morning at 10 o'clock, that's when the phone rings, maybe not be the best time for you to do it. So this worksheet will guide you through some of these questions. Can anyone give me just a commitment as to what time of day they're planning on doing this?
Tomorrow morning.
And every morning? What time?
As soon as I've had my coffee.
Okay. What time is that usually?
Around 8.
So right after coffee, around 8. How much time are you going to be spending at this?
I'm going to start with one CD's worth.
One CD's worth. I love it. It's not time. It's music.
Right.
Wonderful. Anybody else? One more person.
Hi. I'm going to try it tonight for at least 30 minutes.
What time tonight? Who's speaking?
Hi. This is Martha Joe in Alabama.
Hi, Martha.
Probably after 8 o'clock Central Time. My mother's in the hospital, and I have to spend some time with her. So it'll be to that.
Are you an evening person?
I find that I'm usually at between 5 and 10 is my best time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you're looking for about a half hour sometime this evening after 8. I understand the restrictions you've got with your mom being in the hospital, but the more specific you can get with it, the easier it will be. Can you commit to when you get home from visiting your mom, that's when you'll do it?
That's what I'm planning on. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's why I say it's after 8 o'clock tonight. So.
Okay. Well, guys, we are at 5:05, and we are going to stop. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week when we'll start talking about, now that we've sorted through all this stuff, what do you do with it, huh? Mm-hmm. All right? So everyone have a wonderful and productive week. I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you so much for this hour.
You're welcome. Have a great...
Whoops, people are leaving us.
Yeah, that's what happens now.
Bye.